coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation. It's your host, Doug Hagman.
This is the Hagman Report, where truth can't be silenced. I can't operate equipment either. I want to welcome everyone today to a fabulous Wednesday edition, wonderful Wednesday edition. It's Veterans Day 2020, so thank a veteran. My father was a veteran. I did not serve. My dad was a veteran in World War II. Other family members, my grandfather served in World War I. And I've got family that served all the way back to actually through the Civil War. But anyway, thank a veteran. Buy a veteran lunch. Seriously. Supper. Midnight snack. I don't know, but do something nice for a veteran. And I say that even, you know, going through the weekend, at least buy a veteran a cup of coffee. Some gave all, indeed. You know, we are living through extraordinary times. By the way, this is the Hagman Report, where truth can't be silenced, no matter how hard they try, and they're trying hard. We're striking back in different ways and coming back in different ways. So just kind of, I want to thank you for your support as we go through this rocky road, this tumultuous time. It's to the point now where everything is upside down backwards. You know, we told you this was coming. We told you this was coming. And, the Faces of Death book, as Steve Quayle calls it, you know, Twitter. Isn't that interesting on Twitter that, they can censor the President of the United States? Imagine if they did that to Barack Hussein Obama. Just imagine if they would have done that to him. Or imagine if they would have made an effigy of Obama and struck him with baseball bats like a piñata in the middle of Times Square, like they did President Trump. Imagine if all of this was against the left as opposed to President Trump. The visceral hatred by these demonic entities, and I mean demonic entities. I they're communists, they're socialists, they're certainly leftists. They're not Democrats, they're demoncrats. They're not rational, they're irrational. You know, this reaching across the aisle stuff and to make this peaceful pact, that's the stuff of South Africa. Okay? Because by the way, don't believe a minute of that. Do not believe any bit of that. The lists, they're starting. Add me to it. It's extraordinary, the times in which we live. By the way, you probably heard today, Georgia going through a full hand recount. Congressman Charles Grassley today stated the Biden family acted as Chinese foreign agents in corrupt business deal. Of course, you won't hear that on the mainstream news anywhere. Don't know whether you saw this. We spoke about this yesterday. Ted Cruz just unloading on Andrew McCabe. But see, so what? Is Andrew McCabe going to get frog marched out? No. Call me? Not seeing it. Brennan? Don't see it. Obama? Wouldn't be prudent, right? You remember that line? Don't see it. It's interesting how Bill Barr, it's interesting how Bill Barr announced that he was going to look into election fraud, and the chief, Richard Pilger, the Department of Justice Director of Election Crimes, resigned. Hey, we're going to go look into election crimes. And then the head of that department resigns. Nothing to see here, folks. Nothing at all. I saw a video, and I don't know who this speaker was. Obviously, someone a lot better than me. We have to change our language, too, about how we're referring to this election. There is no president-elect. Just so you understand this, people understand this, and Richard Proctor, Provost Institute, is going to be discussing with this with me, and I hope he will get into the various nuances of where we're at. Because we have talked about this before. Now it's for real, okay? We had talked about this before. We have got we've got to uphold Article 2, Section 1, Clause 2 of the Constitution. By the way, just so people understand the timeline, because I know that a lot of this gets... Not sure what that was, but I'm sure I'll find out. A lot of the mainstream media is trying to cover this up. You know, the ultimate arbiter. I mean, the ultimate end of the final say when the electors meet, or in selecting the electors, is the state legislatures. And by my count, we've got at least 26 states who have Republican majorities, which might be 28. I'm not sure. 26 to be sure. The Electoral College convenes this year on December 14th. And if this whole thing is not resolved, whether through SCOTUS, Supreme Court litigation or other means, December 14th comes around, the states are required, constitutionally required, to select electors to send to the Electoral College to vote. Now, my terminology might not be 100% accurate there, and I'm going to rely on Richard Proctor to fix that. But again, Article 2, Section 1, Clause 2 of the United States Constitution deals with that. And, you know, if you've been paying attention to our Wednesday shows, you would know that this has been, this is a thing. Let's not forget that Al Gore fought, scratched, clawed 37 days right up through the Supreme Court through a hanging chad BS back in the year 2000. But this is different. This is about Dominion software. This is about a surveillance program that was weaponized by Obama, called the Hammer, with an exploit known as Scorecard, infiltrated into the voting machines, electronic voting machines, to flip votes. And if you watch carefully, and you can see on some of the videos that are out there how this is done. You know, people are saying, well, every vote counts. No, every legal vote counts. And I'm going to ask Dr. Proctor about the Constitution. Do we have an election day or an election week? What's the Constitution say? What about, is there anything that's stated, not in canonized law, but in the Constitution about people to ensure a fair count? Poll observers, for example. We have a situation where Wolf and others here in Pennsylvania is rife with absolute fraud. Of course, that's, you know, oh my goodness, I say that, man, who knows, I can get banned for saying that. The fact that dead people voted, oh wait, that's a myth, according to Twitter, the fact checkers. Really? just understand the left, the demon rats, the communists, they brought hundreds of lawsuits between 2016 and 2020 across all the states to eliminate security measures on, with respect specifically to absentee ballots and mail-in voting. All right. And the voter ID law. Don't forget the motor voter law. Remember that way back when? Oh, what a great idea. Right? All of this to the detriment, to the erosion of our country. Pennsylvania decided that the signatures on ballots and cards, you know, the books don't have to match. The postmarks aren't important, and the deadline, that's not important either. The deep state, they want, obviously, us to vote earlier and count later. In other words, they want to extend the, let's start voting in March, and let's extend the voting until, you know, whenever we get enough votes to win. But back to the language issue, just very quickly and in closing. We have no president-elect. Biden standing in front of a wall that says office of the president-elect, he should be ashamed of himself. Those people who congratulated Biden should be ashamed of themselves. I don't give a damn whether you're Republican, Democrat. I don't care if you're green, purple, blue, black, brown, orange. It doesn't matter. I don't care. We have no president-elect. And, oh, by the way, I'm not even sure Biden knows which office he's running for. Again, you know all of that. And Kamala Harris is not constitutionally eligible to take over based on the Constitution. But what's happening is disgusting and appalling in terms of the media. Again, we've been censored from YouTube. Why? We've been put on notice on Twitter. Why? And punished. The truth becomes hate speech to those who hate the truth. If in my, but back to language again, we have to make sure that we are very clear that President Trump is still the president. The race has not been called. The media does not get to call the races. That's not how it works. When we say things like, well, he could take back the presidency. It was never taken away from him. Very quickly, there's two videos I want to see, and then we're going to bring Dr. Proctor on for the remainder of the program to talk about these and other matters. The first video, just very quickly, is, and the only reason I'm playing this is I've gotten so many emails. I don't know if the gates of the left opened up, but even some on the Christian right, believe it or not, saying, well, there's no evidence of any kind of fraudulent activity on any of these races. It's all BS. And I just don't understand it. I don't understand. What are you trying to change my mind? Let's listen to the press secretary very briefly outline the issues of fraud. Go ahead.
All right, Kaylee, let's start with you. Explain what those percentages mean and explain you're in the process of getting these affidavits. You have, for example, you brought a pile of them with you tonight.
That's right. I did, Sean. We keep hearing the drumbeat of where is the evidence? Right here, Sean. 234 pages of sworn affidavits. These are real people, real allegation, signed with notaries who are alleging the following, among other contentions. They are alleging this is one county, Wayne County, Michigan. They are saying that there was a batch of ballots where 60% had the same signature. They are saying that 35 ballots had no voter record, but they were counted anyway, that 50 ballots were run multiple times through a tabulation machine, that one woman said her son was deceased, but nevertheless somehow voted. These are one of many, many allegations in one county, in a county no less, where a poll watchers were in many cases threatened with racial harassment. They were pushed out of the way, and Democrat challengers were handing out documents how to distract GOP challengers. These are real, and anyone who cares about transparency and the integrity of the system should want this to pursue to the discovery phase.
Okay, you can cut that. That's good. All right. Should this end up where there is a Biden administration? Very briefly, 53 seconds. He's gonna undo everything President Trump did and institute. He's gonna take away our Second Amendment rights, which of course will nullify our first. Just very quickly, 53 seconds, and then Richard Proctor. Here it is.
God bless your seat, this guy. You're gonna take care of the gun problem. You're gonna be the one who leads this effort.
Are you, in fact, in favor of gun confiscation?
Yes.
Are you proposing taking away their guns, and how would this work?
I am.
Exactly how are you going to take away weapons from people who do not want to give them up?
Then that weapon will be taken from them. If they persist, there will be other consequences from law enforcement.
There will be people that don't turn their guns back in. What's the next step for the federal government there?
There have to be consequences. In that case, I think there would be a visit by law enforcement.
To gun owners out there who say, well, a Biden administration means they're going to come for my guns.
Bingo.
There you go. Courtesy of President Trump, Trump against 2020. So, and we apologize for the buffering on that, but what are you going to do? Dr. Richard Proctor, ProvisInstitute.com. The link is in the program description box at HagmanReport.com. That's the only place you're going to find any links anywhere. HagmanReport.com. Click on the banner above the print section there at the top of the page, and that'll take you to our video page. That's HagmanReport.com. Click on the banner. Dr. Richard Proctor, Provis Institute, how are you today, sir?
Good.
Thank you for bearing with me.
I'm here today, ready to go, enjoying what's going on, watching what's going on, and saying to myself, there's going to be some consequences, but they're not going to be against us, the people. I don't know. I just feel that way. I want to mention one thing, though, to get started here. Everybody, this is the 11th of November. That's Veterans Day. Well, I'm 100% disabled Vietnam veteran, so I expect people to buy for me, not lunch, not dinner, not a book, Saving the Constitution, for yourself and for me. That's a good thing. You want to save a veteran, help a veteran. Here I am. Okay?
There you go. Good job.
I just wanted to say that. That's my advertisement for today.
Okay. I like that. You know what? I like that idea. I do like that idea. You've got a 100% disabled Vietnam veteran right there, Dr. Richard Proctor. Instead of taking him out to lunch, which you're not going to do, by Saving the Constitution, if you haven't done so already. Do that. Yes. There you
just
go.
Just for the dates, I arrived in Vietnam in October of 60 and left in October of 61. Okay, so there it is. No, that's not right. No, it's 70 and 71, that time frame, or 69 and 70. Well, I shouldn't have tried to use a date. It's too far ago for me to remember. I got there in October of one year and left in October the next. How's about that?
And you certainly didn't have a good time. I mean, you know.
Yeah, I did. Well, it wasn't a good time, but I didn't suffer like some of these guys did. I'm not going to say I did. Some of these guys went through hell. I didn't. Yeah. I worked in the personnel. I worked in the hospital. I didn't have any of the problems they're faced with. So don't classify that.
Okay.
I still wind up being 100% disabled because of the actions of the federal government. Yes.
Well, you know, look, whatever, you served, and you served, you did what they told you to do, you went where they told you to go, and thank you for doing that. And you know, that sounds so trite to say that. I really, there's statements I don't like. You know, I'm sorry for your loss. Well, okay, yeah, thank you. No, you're not. Or thank you for your service. Really, you know, it sounds so trite, but in all honesty, I want to thank you for what you did. You didn't flee to Canada. You didn't hold up a sign. You didn't. Thank you for what you did. So.
No, I went willingly, and I wasn't upset at all. I went there. I served at Phuket. It was a nice base. We did what we needed to do. We were attacked by the Vietnamese. All kinds of things happened.
Yep.
Okay. We had flak vests. I remember spending many a night under my bed with a flak vest, you know. But I didn't go through what the Army guys did in the field. So I don't want a comparison made here.
Right.
They really suffered. I did not. Okay. But I was still there doing what support I needed to do for our pilots. I briefed the commander on what was going on in personnel. I was in assignments, what was coming, what was going. I signed every assignment document that came into the base and every assignment document that left the base. Mm. I got tired of personally signing. But that was my, you know, that was my task. Everybody has to do a task. That sure. was mine. Yeah. And I worked 10 hours a day, 6 days a week, just the same as everybody else did. That's how it was done.
Man, that's, it's good. Hey, 11-11 is today, and that's Veterans Day. And thank you, veteran. And folks, again, what better way can you help a veteran by saving the Constitution? ProvisInstitute.com is where you need to go and do it. And thank you for doing it. ProvisInstitute.com. The link will be in the program description box at HagmanReport.com. All right.
Now, new subject.
Yes, sir.
New subject. A gentleman sent me a poem written by his wife. I don't know. I just wanted, it's called Use Me Always, written by Kathleen Orminsky. Oh, I said that correctly. And I'm just going to mention a few of the lines here. My thoughts are not always the purest, but use me anyway. My speech is not always the clearest, but use me anyway. I am guilty of wrongs, attitudes, and pride, judgment, but use me anyway. You see the concept here? The concept is, use me. I'm going to add a line. There's more to the poem but that, but I'm going to add a line. Provide me with the tools so I can learn to be prepared. And then use me anyways, always. Okay? I just added a line to her poem. Provide me with the tools to learn so I can be prepared. And then use me always, anyways. Okay, anyway. Guys, that's important. I think to myself, the tools, I'm going to be a little blunt here. The tools I prepared will help all these people that keep writing to me and say, what can I do? What can I do? What can I do? I have a redundant answer to that. Get the book, learn, and press on and do your part in your community. That's my redundant answer. Everybody must do that. We can't win anything if we sit on our duffs and say, oh, what can I do? Get the tools available. Take those tools, learn, and then participate in your community to reach a constitutional situation in your state.
By the way, I apologize for this. I have to interject one thing. I forgot to make the announcement that the rally in Washington, D.C. this weekend is still on. Okay, Twitter or Eventbrite, MailChimp, Twitter, Facebook, they all said it's canceled. Believe it or not. So the peaceful protest, I wouldn't say rally, peaceful protest in Washington, D.C. is still on. And I was asked to make sure people understood that. And Alex Jones is going to be there. And, of course, InfoWars is partially leading up some of the pack from the south across Georgia and up. So I was asked to make that announcement. Okay. Yes. Tools are important. Now, you know, and it amazes me, what can we do? I was going through some of the previous programs, and you had addressed every, just about every place, every aspect that we're facing today, you addressed. You've already talked about all of this. We could be here, and if we're here, this is what we need to do, and this could happen. And I was amazed at what I learned when I listened again.
You know, all I just do is read the Constitution and pay attention to what's going on and pay attention to rights and know from the history I wrote of the Liberty series, know what the government does and what the people background of the government does. It's not hard. Anybody can do the same thing. I know it takes a little effort to read it. It took me a lot of effort to write it. But the point is, it's not hidden. Everything is out there to be seen by those who will look. We're selling a lot of full sets, and I'm glad of that. But I won't be glad of it if the people are putting them on the shelves and showing people. See, I got that. I want them on their coffee table red. I want them to be well worn on the coffee table. I want people to understand what this is about. Remember, the index helps you find any words. So you can find words that you're interested in all the books by using the books in the indexes of that book. You don't have to read the whole book to find out where it talks about a particular subject. Look it up. If I've missed it, tell me about it, and I'll add it at some point. Guys, all right. I've got the tools for you. I've done all the work for you. Now I want to discuss the stuff you talked about at the beginning. Is that all right?
Oh, yeah. Here we are. I just want to set the stage. 8 days out, 8 days after Election Day. My questions, is it Election Week? Is it Election Day? What about the states, the state legislatures to select electors? What about recounts? What about mail-in ballots? What about all the questions I'm sure you've gotten in your email box? Take them at, or I should say this, fire
at
will.
It's not really tough. It's not tough to take them. It's not tough.
Okay.
None of the stuff that's going on, absolutely none of it, is constitutional. The date, the 14th of December, is a law, not a constitutional date. The date of the election should not even exist. There's no such thing. I'm sorry, guys. You're asking me to say what's good or what's right about the things that are being done, and absolutely nothing is right. Nothing. Except the fact that these people are supposed to meet in their states, and they are the people who nominate, vote, or select the president. Nobody runs for it. No popular election. Nobody goes out and says, Bill, vote for me, vote for me. Oh, none of that's supposed to happen. It's been created by the political parties, those guys who are using it to batter us to death, and the federal government. It's all been created. It's not anywhere in any document of the Constitution, period. No amendment, no nothing covers any of the things that's going on. How about that?
So what you're telling me is everything that we're doing, it falls out, obviously falls outside of the scope, not outside of the scope, but falls, well, is unconstitutional.
It's all been made up. It's all been made up by the political, the voting date, that's made up by the political parties. It's all made up. All these politicking, it's all made up.
Okay.
All these ideas about Republicans and Democrats are different is all made up. It's created by the people who wanted to disunite our country. And they've succeeded.
Hell yes, they have.
And it's been going on for 200 years, getting worse and worse all the time. But we don't do anything about it. We the people say, we better vote on the third. No, you shouldn't vote. Well, yes, you should, because we must live with what's there. But what's there is no way, shape, or form constitutional, so I cannot discuss whether it should be done or not based on the Constitution, because it's all made up. Wow. Didn't take long to do that, did it?
Put that in your pipe and smoke it, non-constitutionalists.
Nothing out there. Yeah. There's no such thing as a ballot for the president. There's no such thing. There's no such thing as an election date for the president. There is such thing as a date for the Electoral College to meet to nominate the people they're going to nominate for president without any regard to what anybody in the state has done. Okay? They could still do that, you know. That is constitutional.
Well,
those people could meet in their states and select who they want without going back to the state at all. And I don't care what law the states pass. Article 6 says the Constitution's first above everything. Anything that's not in accordance with the Constitution is invalid. So it's not a law. It's invalid. And J. Marshall agreed with me. He said any law that's passed that's not constitutional is null and void. He said that in Marbury versus Madison. And, so I'm quoting the Supreme Court Chief Justice saying to you that none of this stuff is law.
Marbury versus Madison, 1803.
Yep,
a law repugnant to the Constitution is void.
Yep.
Yeah.
Very clear. Very clear. So taking that very pet phrase from his very mouth, which is not what he really meant to say, but that's what he did say because he clarified it later on. That makes sense. But what he did say is anything against the Constitution is null and void.
Yep.
And Article 6 says that too. I'll read Article 6, you guys. You've got to know these things. If you don't know these things, you won't know what questions to ask or what to think about. And you've got to think about stuff. How can the Lord guide you if you don't know what you need to be guided on? This Constitution and the laws of the United States, which are made in accordance with this Constitution, I changed the phrase a little, and all treaties made or which shall be made under the authority of the Constitution and the United States shall be the supreme law. But that's it. So if it's not in accordance with the Constitution, it is not law. If it is not according to the law of the United States that are passed that are in accordance with the Constitution, it's not law. Treaties that are passed or signed that are not in accordance with the Constitution or the laws of the land are null and void. That's what Article 6, Paragraph 2 says. It's not tough to read. Blah.
I'm afraid to ask. Article 6, Paragraph 2, right?
Yes.
Okay. Just checking.
You have a good discussion of that in Saving the Constitution. I outlined it so it's clear. So you don't have to worry. Because the Supreme Court doesn't know what it says. They never have known. 1796, they didn't know what it said. No, they don't know what it says. I don't think they even know the document. I think the only thing they know is their bias and their precedences. They do know those. After that, they don't care.
Yeah, I'm just
maybe a few justices, like Clarence Thomas. Maybe a few justices know what the Constitution says. But they're a lone voice in the wilderness.
I would bet Amy Coney Barrett might know.
Well, I hope so. She hasn't done anything yet. Right. I don't know what she's going to do. I thought Roberts would too, but he's turned out to be a wolf in sheep's clothing.
Yes, yeah. Yeah. So, okay.
Just a minute, before you say that, we had unanimous decision made by the Supreme Court a couple of months ago that said Governor Newman can close the churches if he wants. It's constitutional. Now, that was unanimous.
Was that the state or the Supreme Court?
Supreme Court. It was unanimous. They said it. I was disappointed.
Yeah.
Now, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Clarence Thomas did vote against it. Doesn't make any difference. Supreme Court passed it. It's a law. No, it isn't. It's an unconstitutional decision. It is not a law. Did not give him any authority to do anything. Although everybody's going to say it does, because we all think they pass laws. Oh, I'm sorry. Supreme Court never passes a law. Supreme Court says it's the supreme law of the land. It is not. This is Article 1, Section 1, Paragraph 1, the very first paragraph of the Constitution. All legislative powers herein granted shall be vested in a Congress of the United States, which shall consist of a Senate and a House. Period. And Article 6 says everybody in the states will support the Constitution of the United States. Therefore, that right there says the decisions of the Supreme Court are not law. Neither are the executive orders. Neither are anything written by the EPA or any of those agencies. They are not law. They are made up regulations which are unconstitutional in every case.
Okay.
Am I clear on these things? Am I being clear?
I think so.
I'm just trying to be clear. I'm not trying to get excited. I'm just trying to be clear.
Got to send you to
this
Washington.
This is what it says. And if you read the book, you would have known it before I said it.
All right. So What do we do? I mean, we are so far down. Let me tell you where I'm at mentally, okay? Based on what you just said. And I understand because, you know, look, folks, I do have, this is my studio copy of Saving the Constitution, which is not as worn as my other copy. That's worn. But here's how I feel mentally. And then you can, because I'm sure a lot of people feel this way mentally. I feel like I drove down this, like I'm driving on a long distance trip. I'm going to Branson. I'm from my hometown. I'm driving, you know, and, good Lord, I get off and I don't know how many people know that you get a lot, you know, East or St. Louis and East St. Louis. And oh my goodness, you get lost in East St. Louis and you got a real problem there. Okay. But you take you're in the wrong lane. You get off on the wrong thing. And then pretty soon you're driving. Or if you don't like that example, maybe you're leaving Branson and somehow you get on this wrong road and pretty soon you go from a four lane to a two lane to a gravel road and you're a dirt road and you're passing farmhouses and cows and pigs and sheep and Sasquatch and, you know, who knows what. And you're out in the middle of nowhere. You're looking up and thinking, okay, where am I? And your GPS, you got no GPS because, you know, I don't. And the maps or the roads not on the map. I'm so far down this road. I don't even know what state I'm in. Okay. That's how I feel. I'm so far down there. I don't have a cell phone because I hate cell phones. So.
You know,
that's how I feel.
There's a phrase that goes along with what you just said. Stop. If you're digging a hole,
right,
and you're angry about the hole, stop shoveling.
Yeah.
Which tells me is turn the car around and retrace your steps and learn where you went wrong. But if you don't do that, you might as well keep shoveling in that hole because you're not going to get anywhere. If you're shoveling the wrong hole, you're digging a hole that's wrong, stop shoveling. Now, that sounds like stupid, but think for a moment. How many hundred, how many million, how many tens of millions of people in this country are angry, want to have this thing rectified? But what are the tens of millions of people doing? They're sitting in their parlor, upset. Why doesn't Trump do this? Why doesn't Trump do that? Why doesn't Trump do the other? Well, on and on and on. Look at all the stuff Trump doesn't do, doesn't do, doesn't do, doesn't do. Hold the phone, folk. Pick up a mirror. What are you doing? Are you doing anything to try to solve these problems or just bellyaching? And don't tell me there are no tools. I've been talking about a tool for a year and a half. And people are buying the tool. I hope they're reading the tool. I hope they're telling their neighbors. I hope they're getting everybody on board to understand that what you've got to do is you've got to get back to the Constitution. And it's not going to be easy. We haven't elected a president for 200 years properly. What if, now, this is just a supposition. I don't know if it could happen or not. What if everybody in every state that are constitutional people got together with their electoral college members and said, look, here's what you're supposed to do and read Article 2, Section 1, Paragraph 3 and tell them to choose the people just like that says that they think would be right, regardless of what all this ridiculous voting has done. If the people in mass would just do what Article 2, Section 1, Paragraph 3 says, maybe would make a difference. You see, if we did this very thing, they would throw out everything that's happened to date, all these elections, everything that would be thrown out, and they'd all choose two people.
Okay. And I want to get into, by the way, I also want to get into the number of, this came up in a really heated discussion about the number of, members of the House. But anyway, Section 1, Paragraph 3 provides, and I'm citing
very
from
clear.
Your book. I'm citing from this
very,
book.
Very clear.
Right. Section 1, paragraph 3 provides detailed procedures for electing the president. First, special individuals are selected by each state to serve as members of the Electoral College. Now, let me kind of ask you this question. We've got Hillary Clinton as an elector for New York. She's really special, arguably, although maybe not in the way you're thinking. Members of the Pelosi and Feinstein family as well as electors in their respective states. So, how'd that happen?
Well, the states decided the manner that they choose their electors is their own business. So okay. If they decided to go the wrong direction, that's the wrong direction. But all the electors didn't decide to do that.
True.
And we don't have the right number of electors.
Yeah. Okay. The next sentence is the number of individuals is determined by the number of seats each state has in Congress.
Right. That's exactly what it says. We don't have the right number of electors.
Because we don't have the right number
of legislative, of House members.
Right.
We don't have the right number of House members.
And that goes back to the 17th Amendment? No.
No, the 17th Amendment is to do with the Senate being elected by the people rather than appointed by the state.
Okay, yeah.
So that's not correct. So the states don't have a representation there. So they have no voice in the government any longer.
Okay,
And that's unconstitutional per Article 3, it's Article 5 itself.
Okay, yeah, I'm going to shut up because I'm showing my stupidity. But yeah, okay, so continue because...
On the same vein, sure, we have some states with electors that are all screwed up. Yes, we do. And we have some states and maybe those states could carry the election because they're all screwed up. But I want to ask you a question. Are the people satisfied with illegal activities? If these groups of people that I'm talking about got together, is it possible that they could select electors themselves and shove them down the throats of the legislative body? I don't know. You see, guys, we're not to the point now of nice things. We're to the point now of having to act, even though it's not right, somewhat similar to the way these other people act. You just mentioned Twitter and Facebook and all these people have cut everything out to what and only will allow what they want there. Now, they are a private company. They can do that. Yes, they can. But you, the people, don't have to support them. How many people have canceled their Facebook account to get out from underneath that garbage? I know you can't cancel it. They won't let you. I joined for a couple of months several years ago, almost a decade, and they still won't let me not be there. But I don't let them know anything. I don't do anything. And if I go to a site that says, go to our Facebook site to see what you want to do, I don't go there. They don't get my business, period. I do not go to Facebook ever. Okay, ever. Why aren't more of you doing exactly the same thing? No private company can survive if the people don't help them survive. If you people are so angry with what's going on and angry with these, get out from underneath that company. I left Google search a long time ago. I haven't used Google search for years. They only make money if I use it. They only make money if you use it because of the advertisements they can get. If you don't use it, they'll go under. You are supporting the enemy. Stop it. You want to control Twitter? And you want to control Facebook, leave them, all of you, in mass.
Well, I found this very interesting. I don't know if you know this. There has been a mass exodus from Twitter to Parler. Parler is the conservative, it's a competitor, but it's for conservatives. And there's been a mass exodus from YouTube to Rumble, but
excellent.
Facebook as well going to Parler, which is growing now. So, by the way, I've got a Facebook page for the business and for my personal, and I got to tell you this, you try to kill it. No,
they won't let you. They are dictatorial absolute. They will not let you quit.
Right.
But you don't have to use it. I quit decades ago. I don't use it.
That's right.
By the way, I substituted Google with DuckDuckGo.
Sure.
They do everything just right. I have never lost any information because I don't go to Google anymore. If we all in mass left these places, they wouldn't survive. That's how they survive.
Yeah, I don't use Google. Speaking of that, I've often said this, Google is not a verb. Don't tell me to Google it because I'll Google you, okay? No, I hate it when people say, well, just Google it. No, shut up, okay? Search it.
You can go it instead.
Yeah, or whatever, but just search it. Use a search engine other than Google. And certainly, yeah, and I'm very serious. Get off Facebook because they're not getting a dime from me. Get off of, as far as Twitter's concerned, that's a sewage pit. If you swim in that mired water, that muck, you can do some damage, okay, to the enemy. But you got to know what you're doing, although they make money off the damage you're doing. So anyway.
They make money on the use. All this money comes, the advertisers go on the use. If the use is zero, the advertisers will disappear in a minute and the company will go under. Yep. But if the use, just even talk to your friends, keeps it going, well, then they're okay. I'm just talking to my friends about neat things. That's all I'm doing. And you're supporting the company and keeping it alive. Pick up the telephone and talk to your kids. Pick up the telephone. Don't use Facebook to tell everybody what you're doing in your life.
And no one gives a damn anyway. No one cares, by the way.
Yeah.
No one cares.
I don't understand why anybody thinks what I eat for breakfast is important. But sure, a lot of people do think that.
Yeah.
Not what their friends ate. I got to know what he ate for breakfast. Oh, boy, I got to know that. What did he do yesterday morning? What restaurant? Oh, what did he go? Oh, what did he say? Oh, what? Oh, whoa, 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 whoa. Got to see it right now. Oh, garbage. Use your phone. Be a real person.
Or meet face to face. And I think the only way that we're really going to survive this mess is by face-to-face communication because of the surveillance state in which we're trapped in. You know, if I wanted to come to you and if I wanted to say, hey, you know what, this Second Amendment threat to the Second Amendment, we have to make some plans to stop it. I'm not going to do it over the telephone.
No, that's all. This is all recorded. The telephone's all recorded.
Yeah. So it's going to be face to face.
Everything's recorded.
Right.
Everything.
Yep. Exactly. And kept, you know, so, yeah. I don't even know what questions to ask. I guess a normal question would be, what should we do? What's going to happen? What do you think is going to happen? Here's what I believe. I mean, I'll just tell you what I believe. And then if you want to go in a separate direction, that's fine. I believe President Trump won the election. I believe that the software that was used was manipulated. I believe that votes were tabulated after. I believe all of this stuff I believe that President Trump won the election. I believe, as a matter of fact, if you take out all the fraud, there's probably a red wave that went across the country that includes California as well. But I don't know. I don't know. That's just my opinion. We're still allowed to have those.
But you see, you have an awful lot of information to make that opinion with. I feel exactly the same way. This whole thing is fraud. Every state has had fraudulent activities, mm-hmm. every one of them. And it's all done by the same people who are trying to control everything else we do.
Yep.
They want us to buy what they want. They want us to live like they want. Let's just think for a minute, guys. What kind of a situation are we in? Have you heard of the word sustainable development? Anybody heard about that? Heard about a smart TV, a smart telephone, a smart this? Let me give you a little clue. If this thing is a sustainable item, it comes from the United Nations, and it's to control your life. If the thing is a smart item, it's coming from the same source, only this time it's coming from other areas to control your life. Any smart meters, any smartphones, anything at all that has the word smart or sustainable is to control your life. I got a new phone for my wife the other day. Is it a smartphone? No. Okay, we'll get it. I have a smartphone in a folder that they can't follow or do or use because the capabilities I must have on my phone won't work on a non-smartphone. See how they've got us tagged in? So I put it in one. I bought one of these things from Amazon. You can just put it in there and they can't see you or know what's going on at all. But if it's not there, even turned off, they know what's going on. Smart devices are smart for them, dumb for you, period. Get a smart refrigerator, you're in trouble. Get a smart meter on your house, you're in trouble. Get a smart TV, you're in trouble. It wants to sound good, but it isn't. They're in control of you when the word smart shows up. Someday they're going to change the word to something else. But right now it's smart. That word and sustainable. That word are the killing words. They are the words that are going to control your lives. If you keep buying smart stuff, your lives will be controlled. I don't have a smart TV. My TV isn't even hooked up to cable. I'm not hooked up to a dish. I use my TV for my own purposes, not for the enemy's purposes. The word smart, word sustainable. Sustainable development means destroy your home, put you in an apartment. That's what it means.
Yep.
I mean, it's going to do different than that. A smart meter on your electrical system means that they control whether you can use your power or not. Yep. Individually, a smart meter allows them to turn off your home power, period. Did you know that?
Oh, yeah. But how do you get, not to get too far off the track here, how do you get away from a smart meter? I mean, I know what I did, and I'm not going to even get it go down that road, but how do you get away from a smart, how do you prevent a smart meter from going on your home?
I tried. I couldn't do it. I made noises that you can't believe. I couldn't do it.
Right. I made modifications.
You're stuck. Now, here's a thought. Here's a thought. You've got a smart meter, and you here's the thought. Get yourself an electric generator. Hook it up. When your power goes off, that turns on. Yep. Automatic.
Yep. When you say electric generator, you mean a gas.
A generator that makes electricity to run your home.
Right, right.
Okay. You have to decide how big you want.
Yep.
I wouldn't put air conditioners on it, but I would put heat on it. I'd put refrigerator and freezer on it. I wouldn't put extra lights on it. I wouldn't put the TV on it, except if you want to use it for your own purposes. Don't ever let I shouldn't say this. People like their TVs and they're very important, and I understand that. But I haven't used a television set as a television set for decades, and I don't feel deprived a bit. I haven't listened to a news broadcast of any type for so long I don't remember the last time it was.
And that's
Everybody's
the way it is.
Pardon?
And that's the way it is. Perhaps is the last words from a news broadcast you remember. And that's the way it is. Walter Cronkite.
Yep. Long time. The end of the story, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that how he said it? Oh, anyway, yeah. Those are the days. Yeah. I was listening then. I listened to that. I don't have a newspaper that comes to my home either. Same reason. Guys, we're being controlled and we're fed garbage, and everybody sits down and says, oh, what's happened in the news? And they feed you garbage. They'll give you a few things like the weather and stuff. But, you know, you can tell what the weather is. Look outside. You know, that brings me back to a story about an old Indian who was downtown, down in one of these community homes. You know, Indian 1850s.
Uh-huh.
Not really that long. Let's just call it 1930s, 19 something like that, 1920s. Well, they came to the Indian. What's going to be the weather? So the Indian told them. And that went on for months and months and months. Finally, they went to the Indian. I can't tell you now. My battery went low. Can't listen to the radio. Now, here's another thing. If the rock has snow on it, it's snowing. If it's wet, it's raining. If it's dry, then it's, if it's dry and it's either sunny or cloudy, look in the sky.
Simple enough. Yeah.
These people say that they can tell you what the weather's going to be like. Can they really? Yes, they can do a good job because they can see what's coming. But except in extreme cases, does it really matter? Does it really matter?
Well, buy yourself a barometer.
Does it matter if it's going to rain this afternoon, really, to any of us?
No, but it certainly would matter if there's a Cat 5 hurricane bearing down on your butt, you know.
And all the people around you that are listening will tell you.
That's true.
Happened here in Kaysville. There was a Category 2 hurricane bearing down on Kaysville. Everybody told me about it, so I paid attention to what they said.
Okay. Yeah. Well, yeah.
Tune out these things. You've got to. You can't keep feeding your mind with garbage. Garbage in, garbage out. If you live by paying attention to what the media says, garbage in, garbage out.
I think people are starting to wake up to this because, which you probably didn't see, or maybe you did through, the internet or whatever, is, Neil Cavuto, interrupting or, you know, stopping a presser by the White House press secretary saying, and basically it was BS, which she was saying. And, you know, the hubris of that man, from Fox News, the hubris of them to do what they did, to the press secretary of the United States. And then for them to sign on, you know, for them to continue their peddling of their fake news. Fox News is no different than anyone else.
And doesn't that tell you what you're listening to when you listen to those places? Doesn't that give you an inkling of what's going on? Mm-hmm. Are we so naive that we think that's the only thing that's happening? Folks, J.P. Morgan bought all the media sources that were available then, and they've continued to add to them, in the early 1920s. Not one thing that's come across the Associated Press for newspapers has ever been accurate. It's been slanted to what they want. If you want to have a picture of that in your mind, I still recommend people get a hold of these books. It's called Capable of Honor, written by Alan Drury. I think that's right. Alan Drury, D-U-R-U-Y, I believe. Alan Drury, A-L-A-N. In 1960, 5 or 4, something like that, 66. Capable of Honor. It tells you the story of what's going on. Now, he talks about a guy named Wonderful Walter. Wonderful Walter is determining what everybody thinks. All right? Wonderful Walter. You know what the guy's name was that was really doing that very thing? Walter Lippmann. And he was doing the very thing that Drury describes. Precisely what he describes. And that's going on today, too. So it's not hidden from me. I know what's happening because I know the system. Wonderful Walter doesn't talk to me. Walter Lippmann never talked to me. He was a part of the deal. He was set to do those things. Oh, yeah, you'd know these things if you had my books and you were reading them. You'd know all these names. You'd know all this stuff. I give the names. I don't just hodgepodge around and say, well, it might have happened. I give the names. There's a talk in the media. It's a guy retiring. And this is what I'm going to paraphrase. It's in my books. Right. I'm going to paraphrase. He says, guy, this is a reporter's thing, giving him a farewell on his retirement day. Guys, he says, I'm finally out of this rat race. You have to do it because if you don't, you'll be blackballed and you can't work. But I don't have to do it anymore, and I'm not going to. All that garbage we've been spilling out to the American people, garbage. And we've kept doing it just so we can feed our families. I don't have to do that anymore. That's his discussion. He was a major newspaper journalist, or was something of that sort. Everybody respected him. That's what he said at his retirement. So why do you think that it's not going on? Why do you think, oh, well, we don't have to worry. Everything we hear there is okay. I can sift out what's good and what's not. No, you can't.
Way they do it. And that's a good point you bring up. That's a really good point. You think you can, but the programming has been so refined, you really can't. I'm sorry. I didn't mean that.
Yep. You're absolutely right. I appreciate your comments. Think about it for a minute. These guys know exactly what to do. Why do you think attorneys can make you think black is white? And it doesn't take them very long to do it. They've already taught us that good is evil, and that's become our mantra. Oh, yeah, good is evil. Evil is good. Aha, brr. We live our lives with that. Well, the attorneys and the media have taught us that. Very slowly, they've taught us that.
You know, you probably heard about the postal worker who signed a sworn affidavit and actually gave a video interview to Project Veritas about backdating ballots. That postal worker is out of Erie, Pennsylvania, where I sit. And look, I know what goes on. Okay. I know what goes on here. I know what kind of politics there are here. And by the way, I know the investigators, some of the investigators. Anyway, big news story. The postmaster of a certain post office here in Erie, backdate ballots. Okay. That's what the whole thing was about. News yesterday or the day before or within the last 36 hours. Postman recants his story. Okay. That was trending on Twitter and all that and recants the story. Well, Project Veritas was given or somehow acquired the 4+ hour interrogation. This postal worker was interrogated by the, internal postmaster people, one of the guys. And when you understand that guy that did the interrogating was allegedly, he taught interrogation techniques to the CIA, to CIA officers. You can understand that by the time the 4.5 hours was over, this poor guy was, and you can read the transcript or partial transcript. This poor guy was like, whatever. But the thing is, he didn't recant. But when you look at how they attempted to twist everything, it almost sounds like he recanted, but he didn't. And he came back and doubled down and said, I never recanted. So these are master manipulators. I've got to tell you, they're master manipulators. They really are. No, like you said, punctuate.
There's a clue to this whole thing. You don't have to wait. All you have to do is hear that he has been interviewed and he recants. Now, you know, it was true. You know, it was true. That's your indication. You don't have to have anything more. You know, that was true or they wouldn't have bothered. Mm-hmm. If it had been a lie, they wouldn't have bothered. Oh, yeah, it'll sink of its own, and it would. But because he said something that was true, they crucified him. Therefore, you know it's true. Even if he recants, even if he says something different tomorrow, you know the original one was true. That's your key. Pay attention to your keys to things.
You know, you have given some very sage advice, and I appreciate that. My guest, of course, every Wednesday is Richard Proctor, ProvisInstitute.com. We're going to take not a break, but we blew past the break, but I need to take care of a little bit of business here. You're listening to the Hagmann Report right here on the Global Star Radio Network. I want to welcome all of you. This is Dr. Richard Proctor, ProvisInstitute.com. That's where to get his books, ProvisInstitute.com. The links to purchase Saving the Constitution, my copy right here, Liberty Series, all of the books will be at HagmannReport.com. Press on the bar for the videos, and then it'll take you to the videos. And then, of course, the video description box. There are the links. It's that simple. I've got to tell you, his books are second to none in terms of really understanding or helping you understand the Constitution. By the way, he's a 100% disabled American veteran. Today's Veterans Day. Make his day by the book, by Saving the Constitution. Do it today, okay, folks? And you know, speaking of things of great importance, I want to just say that, you know, our family over the last, I don't know, a couple of years, we've had our share of tragedies and things that have happened. And you can anticipate and mitigate damage. Okay. What am I talking about? I'm talking about life insurance. Folks, shopping for life insurance can seem like a very daunting task, but if you've got loved ones that depend on you, it's also critically important. That's why Policy Genius makes it easy. They combine cutting-edge insurance marketplace with help from licensed experts to save you time and money. I'm telling you right now, that's a value in and of itself. Right now, you could save 50% or more by using Policy Genius to compare life insurance. When you're shopping for a policy that could last more than a decade, and a lot do, many do. I've had mine for quite a while. Those savings really start to add up. And here's how it works, folks. First, head to policygenius.com. That is policygenius.com. In minutes, you can work out how much coverage you need and compare quotes from top insurers to find your best price. Policy Genius will compare policies starting as little as $1 a day. Yes, that's how little you can spend and be covered. You might even be eligible to skip the in-person medical exam. And once you apply, the Policy Genius team will handle all of the paperwork and red tape. And the best part is they work for you, not the insurance company. They're not captive agents. They're working for you. So if you hit any speed bumps during the application process, they'll take care of everything for you. That kind of service has earned Policy Genius a 5-star rating across over 1,600 reviews on Trustpilot and Google. Here's what you need to do, folks. If you need life insurance, and you do, head to policygenius.com right now and get started. Again, if you need life insurance, head to policygenius.com right now to get started. You could save 50% or more by comparing quotes. Policy Genius, when it comes to insurance, it's nice to get it right. I want to thank them for their corporate sponsorship of this program. Thank you, policygenius.com. All right, Richard Proctor again is my guest. You're listening to the Hagman Report on the Global Star Radio Network. I want to thank them as well, and I want to thank you for your support and for you tuning into this broadcast. All right, Richard, didn't mean to interrupt there. I had to take care of some business, so let's keep going.
You did the right thing. You did the right thing, and I appreciate it. You do those kinds of things so that you can stay on the air, and all of us need you to do that. Yes, yeah. Do the right things.
Yeah, well, the thing is, and look, I understand. I get it, okay? For example, YouTube is a private platform, and other places are private. Terms of service. But, you know, the thing is, it's not applied equally. It's interesting how we are selected for censorship when other people aren't. You could walk around like Kathy Griffin with the severed head of Donald Trump and say, it's okay, you know, let's do this. And of course, we talk about issues of the Constitution. Oh, no, that violates our, or Steve Bannon says, metaphorically, you know, hey, put their heads on a pike outside of the, you know, put their heads on a pike to make an example. Boy, he gets knocked off, you know. So it's just not fair, man. I'm not whining.
Life,
it's
just not life's fair. Not fair.
You're right.
Life is in, you know, we know God's in charge of the whole thing, but Satan's sure doing his part.
Oh, yes.
You used the term demonic earlier. Yeah, absolutely. Satanic, yeah. Luciferian. Those are all words of what's going on today. I mean, if somebody in your government, I mean state government, if somebody in your state government is pushing masks and safe and distancing, even though it sounds so trivial, it's a step. It's one of those nose in the tent flap thing. It's trivial. But you see, once you've accepted one thing that's trivial, you will accept the next thing that's trivial. And the next thing, where are you going to stop? Somebody asked me the other day, you got to pick your battles. And I said, you're absolutely right. And I pick my battles the second it violates the Constitution, period, because that's the battle I want to win. Then there won't be a second one. That's how to do it, folks. So the masks are trivial, but get them off your faces anyway. If I go to an audience that's got people with masks on their faces, I'm going to ask them to leave. If the people are all there with masks and they're social distancing, I'm not going to stay. I'm not going to talk to you guys. You're not a part of the team. I'm not interested in talking to people that aren't a part of the team. You're being hoodwinked, and you're accepting it. Have a nice day, and I'll leave.
Okay, so speaking of that, because I know somebody's going to – and you've been over this point many, many, many times, but let's address this again. Let's say Biden becomes the next president, which I don't believe he will, but let's just bear with me. He's going to have a national mask mandate. You got to wear masks everywhere. You got to wear masks. Or Cuomo, that piece of, you know what, mask mandate. Can they do that constitutionally? Of course not.
Absolutely not. We know that.
I know. But
and so the key is don't do it.
There you go.
You know, folks, if one person doesn't do it, he'll probably get arrested and hurt. And everybody will look at that and say, oh, there's an example. Ooh, I better not do that. Wait a minute. If everybody did it with him, they couldn't do anything about it. There's not enough of them. But if we try to do things individually, it becomes more difficult. People that stand individually put themselves in the spotlight. And when they're in the spotlight, they can get treated very badly. Now, I understand that you do it because I do it because I have a calling to do it. But if everybody would join me, then we would have a chance. But if nobody joins me, we don't. Now, what do I mean by join me? What I mean by that is learn the Constitution, the real one, not the one that's not the one that everybody teaches. No, everybody you're going to go to a school. Everybody's going to teach you the wrong one. Okay, it's just going to be that way. They're going to teach you the Supreme Court law of the land, and that isn't true. My book is the only one. That book will teach you what the Constitution says. Being with me means you are acquiring the knowledge you need to do the battle you need to do. I recommend, and I do this all the time, don't wear a mask anywhere. Okay, guys, new stuff to send out.
One thing. I don't wear a mask. I refuse to wear a mask. But that leads me to one other question, just very briefly. Vaccines. Under a Biden regime, I suspect vaccines will be mandatory.
Yes, they will. Absolutely.
Shot in the arm, shot in the head. Either way, you're dead. That's what Steve Quayle says. Not constitutional, right?
Steve is right. That's right.
It's not constitutional.
It's completely unconstitutional. Fourth Amendment. Very, very clearly, you're secure in your person. You are secure in your person. Very clear, you guys. It's in the book. You're right. It's in the book. Very clear. You don't have to ask these questions. Buy a book and read them. Then you can have all your questions answered because they're all there. They're all there.
That's right. All right. I interrupted you. You were going somewhere, and I nudged you.
Yes.
Go ahead. Resume.
My train of thought went away. It'll come back. Oh, it's back. It's back. It's back.
Okay.
A fellow wrote something to me the other day. He says, well, you know, he started it that way. You know, of course, that the Constitution is null and void now since the time of the 30s when Roosevelt did it. Other people have written to me and said, you know, it's null and void since 1871 when they passed that law about the corporation. Other people always come up with something. There's always somebody that says, well, it's null and void. Folks, come on. It's all garbage. The Constitution is not null and void, and it won't be until they replace it with another one that will screw us to the wall. But until that day, it's valid. And if you want to continue living that, the one that they made invalid, you can, but that takes a real problem. But I don't believe that's going to occur. Bottom line is, well, it could occur when the government fails, and the government will fail here in the future sometime. I don't know when, but it will. It's going to fail. We can't go on like this. So when it fails, then you've got to find a group of people who are constitutional and be there. I've said over and over again, I don't know why you people in California still live there. I do not know why. You sit there with the possibility of that huge earthquake, San Andreas Fault, and you still stay. Now you sit there with a government that you're stuck with, and you still stay. You sit there with these edicts that are going on, and you still stay. I don't understand. I don't understand why any renter stays. Homeowners, I understand. Somebody says, well, I'm staying because of my grandma. Well, that's a good thing. That's a good reason. Take grandma with you. Folks, don't stay where you know it's going to collapse.
That's right. And y'all saw Vacation with Chevy Chase. Put her on the roof. If yes. she happens to, you know, anyway.
Took grandma with him on the roof.
Yeah. I guess that was aunt somebody, but nonetheless, you get the idea. You're right. And by the way, you know, to answer the questions, that question about 1871, the corporation, Liberty Series, I found it there too. And I'm, cause I get the same emails. You know what? The level of absurdity, and I'm sorry, some people are just absurd. Well, you know, we're a corporation and the United States filed bankruptcy in 1871 and now we don't have a constitution. Oh, it hurts my head to read some of these emails. Liberty Series will answer all of your questions, and it's not some moron on the internet saying, well, now the quantum language that we can use, just shut up already. Okay. Thank you for that. But Liberty Series, it's all there. You're right.
Yeah, I can't, the pattern, I got to go back to the reason. I wrote that book not to tell you what's going to happen in the future. I'm no prophet. I didn't write that book to tell you what is happening today. I wrote that book to give you a pattern so you can see what government does, and then you can know for yourself what's going to happen. It's not a magic ball. The same thing, history repeats itself, people repeat themselves, human nature's the same all over, it doesn't change. Satan's the same all over, it doesn't change. You want to know what's going to happen, learn what did happen, then you will know what will happen at the time it happens. I know that the Twin Towers were brought down by our own government. No doubt about it. They brought it down. I know that a force of evil killed Kennedy. I know that. No doubt about it. Everything is obscured. But I know a force of evil killed Kennedy. I know why the Oklahoma City building went down. Government did it. Now, you can get all kinds of verification from these things if you get the New American. If you have the back issues of the New American, right. But you don't have to do that. All you have to do is get the Liberty Series and read those books. Now it's going to take some time to do it. It's not going to be overnight. Read those books, write notes on pads of paper to keep track of where you are, keep track of page numbers, ideas and thoughts, but read the books. Watch for the patterns that are demonstrated in all of those books. Know that everything mentioned in those books, some of it's a little bit futuristic, but it's going to happen, and it is happening. For example, I talk in the book, when they talk about tracking the people, I talk about some of these things that they can use to see forms through concrete. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And these things are happening. What can we do? What can we do with satellites today? If they have a satellite up there, that they put a camera on, what can they do?
Oh my goodness. I couldn't, I've seen some of the res. Okay. I went to a wedding.
They can count the hairs on your head.
I'm telling you. Yeah.
If they can do that, what else can they do? What are they doing? Have any of you ever seen the movie Enemy of the State? It's a video. It's a good one.
Yeah. I think I have.
Good show. Yeah. Enemy of the State. He's in a state and an organization, a place where the government is monitoring every move everybody makes. And he's trying to fight against it. By the way, he wins out, so that's okay. But the point I'm making is these things are not fiction. What do you think all those cameras are for traffic control? Don't believe it. Think about it for a minute. Think for a minute. We have in Utah some toll roads. Now, we didn't used to, but we do now. They're on the express lanes. Now, if you sign up, you can drive on those roads and you get to pay the toll, both. If you don't sign up, then they're going to give you tickets and all kinds of stuff. Now, how do they know? Well, they have cameras. These cameras are so precise that as you drive down the road, they can see whether you've got this or not. You're going at 60 mile an hour, 70 mile an hour, and they still know. I drove into the place. Oh, come on, Richard. Well, it doesn't matter. Drove into the place and I drove onto a toll road that wasn't a toll road anymore. So I went press on. I thought I'd get tolled at the end. I didn't. No toll at all. Then I found out Every one of those toll bridges I went under took a picture of my car, license plate, and everything so they could get me later on. I expected to get the tolls. They didn't find me, but I expected to. That's how precise this stuff is. They drive.
There is a warrant out for your arrest, though. Just kidding.
They've got these cameras all around. The cameras are to track you. You know, if you go into the country of Monaco, that's that gambling country in the Mediterranean, Monaco. You go into that country, when you drive in, they chart you. They chart you as you go. Every place you go, they've got cameras every place. They keep track when they leave. They chart you. They know what you do in their country. England has cameras all over. You can't move around in London without cameras taking pictures of you. They say that if you drive the Golden Gate Bridge often enough, you'll be on Japanese home movies. That's the kind of stuff that's going on. Now, that's not surveillance. That's just people take pictures of the Golden Gate and you're in it. That's just what that is. But could be. It could be. Have you guys ever heard of what a zeta? Now, you know what a trillion is. And you know what a billion is. Have you ever heard of a zeta? A zeta number? That means you take a one and put 21 zeros behind it. It's way beyond trillion. It's tens of thousands times beyond trillion. Okay? It is a huge number.
I only heard that in the context of Eric the Tech's bank account.
Yeah, so. Okay. Well, that's it. Understand. Zetas are good for your bank account.
Yeah, yeah.
They have a building in Utah and up in here in Bluffdale, Utah, that has, as I understand it, three Zetas for information gathering on us. And they're doing it. This is not fictitious. They're doing it. This program is going to be recorded. How are they going to keep track? They're going to watch for keywords, words which I do all the time. Okay? I give keywords. They can follow me everywhere. I do keywords. I say those words, and they know I do. It's recorded over and over and over again. And I'm on several shows. I just counted up. I've been on 8 separate shows.
Oh, they got you now, man.
Oh, I'm on them. They know.
They know. And see, okay, that brings me to the other thing, too. The lists. You got to think about this. AOC, that putz. I'm sorry. Okay. That demonic putz, along with the Jennifer Rubin, in my personal opinion, okay, these are all my opinions. I have to couch it that way, sadly. But, it's my opinion. These lists that they're calling for, if you supported Trump in any way, you're on the list. Okay, there's a website. Did you know this? There's a website that actually lists the name and the address of everyone who donated, not to the RNC, but to Donald Trump's campaign. Did you know that?
I'm not surprised. I did not know it, but I'm not surprised at all.
And I thought
you were going to talk about the no-fly list.
Well, there's that, too.
And I'm afraid every time I go to get on a plane, I'm afraid they're not going to let me on.
Well, yeah, I'm going to tell you. I'll tell you this. I'm not going to say who it is. There's an individual. I've had lunch with him. I've sat with him. I've had my picture taken numerous times with him. He's in a position of, shall we say, somewhat authority for a non-governmental organization. Sounds great. He had a membership list of his organization that he allegedly sold for, in exchange for being allowed to be taken off the no-fly list. This is the information. I can't prove it. This is the information I have. But the point is, it doesn't matter who it is and it doesn't matter. The point is, people will do horrible things, I believe. Your neighbor will turn you in for the ability to fly. Your neighbor will turn you into, or your sister-in-law will turn you into, if you got a gun. and you shouldn't have a gun. I mean, it's just, that's where we're at today. So anyway, the lists are just horrible, my friend. They're horrible. They're demonic. And
A good friend of mine here in Kaysville, belongs to the same church as I do, was turned in because he wasn't wearing a mask someplace by another church member.
Why? I know. I mean, I know why. I guess, you know,
I got some new stuff to send out, you guys.
Go ahead.
Always have new stuff. I've been sending out. You know, I talked last week about the item that I've got about the CDC.
Yeah.
I think I've sent out 400 or 500 emails. Responded.
Good.
To people who wanted that list. That list is all over now. That information is all over. And everyone I send out, I say, send it far and wide. And many write back and say, we are. So I think maybe that list is out now, that information.
And
well,
thank you.
Since
thank
this
you.
Week's gone on, I found something to add to that. So, it's a video, 20-minute video. It shows the effectiveness of masks. It shows the stupidity of 6 foot. Let me give you an illustration of what this Dr. Merrill says. She says, and she's a physician, she's one of those who are trying to get the word across. She says, these particles are so small that they float in the air. The virus particle that they have identified and they call COVID-19, which, by the way, COVID-19 does not exist in the manner they say it does. It does exist, but they only found 37. You've read the thing if you've ordered it. They've only found 37 pairs, so they had the computer fill in the other pairs. So now they have something they call that, and that does exist, but it's all made up by a computer. It's a microbe. Mike is so small, microns we're talking, maybe less than that, that it floats. So what's the distance if you're just talking, no sneezes, no coughing, just talking, and you have a mask on, okay, or not, doesn't matter, you're talking, those particles float 26 feet. And one particle will give you the disease they're talking about, which, by the way, is just another form of flu. It's no more than a form of flu, but it's not identified at all except by that computer program. So they don't know what it is. They didn't, but it floats 26 feet. No mask stops it ever. None of them. And she shows pictures of people in the labs that are wearing those suits with tubes that are going to oxygen, and they don't do anything inside. That, she says, will work. So you go around with those things on with tubes that connect you to a safe place. That, she says, will work. They're so small, they penetrate everything, and they don't fall to the ground. They just continue to float. And then eventually, at 26 feet, they do fall to the ground. Unless they're stirred up as they go, then they stay. I'm going to send out anybody who wants, gets that too. Okay? They can get it. They can come. And I'll send that out along with another. I've made a special video. I mean, a special email, so I don't have to hunt and peck. I'll just put the information on, send it to anybody who asks. They'll have both that and another copy of the CDC stuff, which they really don't need, but I'm going to send it anyway because it doesn't matter.
How do they get this? How do they get this?
Provis@Solmega.com. Provis@Solmega.com.
Hang on a minute. Okay. Provis. P-R-O-V-I-S.
At. Solmega.com. That's my website.
Okay.
S-U-L-M-E-G-A. Solmega.com.
Okay.
I make these words up. Sul, S-U-L, is the first initials of my landlord's name in Turkey. Sulahi. The other four words, the letters, mega, I'm not going to be mina anything. So I go mega. Or I could do monster. But I did mega. It's only four letters. Sul mega. That's where it comes from, .com.
Good to know.
Easy to do, easy to write, not one of these big long things like HagmanReportLive.com, none of that long stuff that goes forever.
Oh, you're killing me, man.
I tried to do S.com. I tried to do S.com. They wouldn't let me do it.
No, I like this. Provis at SulMega.com. Folks, it'll be in the program description box at HagmanReport.com. Go
figure. Now, along with that, if you want it, I have another list that I found this week. This week is a list of 27 pages of violations of the election laws in the varying states of the country. 27 Ooh. Pages.
Ooh.
With all kinds of information that comes to you. Now, that doesn't mean one line of page. It means three or there are quite a bit of space on each one, but it is 27 lines of page. It goes through first a whole list of about 13 things. That's a whole list that must be done to verify this election. Then it goes through and describes all the places that he had at the time. Names Hoyt, H-O-L-T, Holt, all the stuff he had at the time. And that's 27 pages, which I pulled off of his website, put it together so it could be easily sent, and I'm sending it to anybody who wants it. I do that. So if you ask for both, you'll get all those things in one email, so I don't have to send so many.
I love it. If folks take advantage of this, the information that that Richard has amassed is critical for, I believe, it's important for you to understand and read. So thank you for doing the homework on that.
Yeah, I put it together so that I actually put it in my directories under your name. I put it all there so I know where it is. That's where I keep all those things. I've got a significant directory in there now. The other day, a fellow asked for all the stuff I'd sent through the program that we've been together.
Right.
Wow. I sent them all to him, everyone.
The email is still transmitting right now, so
it's still going.
No, it's good though. You know, you're. And I've got to say this. If you've been watching our programs, and look, we're still, YouTube has not deleted our previous episodes. And by the way, even if they did, they're backed up at Brighteon. And even if that went, they're backed up here. So they're not going anywhere. Okay. So, but the information that, Richard Proctor has provided to this audience is just fantastic. And it explains why we're here, how we got here, and more importantly, what we need to do about where we're at. So, to be constitutionally effective. And I appreciate that. And I really do, man. You're a great guest and you're a great.
I just try to do what I can. What comes to me, I try to help people. It's very nice that they sent me this poem, Use Me Always, which, by the way, I've got it sitting. I can send it out to if anybody wants it. I've taken it off the site that they sent it, Bromansky's site, off the email, I mean. I've made it larger so that it's easy to read. That was very small. I made it larger, used her fonts, and I'm sending it out to anybody who wants it. They told me, this is what they said. The Lord told us to send it to you. What you do with it is what he wants done. That's what he said. So I'm doing it. Anybody who wants that, that poem's going to be out too. Kathleen Orminsky is going to have her poem to anybody who wants that also. Got to ask for these things though. I don't send stuff out people don't ask for. I figure that if people want something, they'll ask for it. If they don't want it, they won't ask. I only send things people ask for.
Well, we appreciate what you do. And, Eric and I were talking about this and, as we were talking about the election and how things could go and how things can go very sideways. I don't know, Richard. And again, I'm not going to take you anywhere you don't want to go. You feel free to not segue from this, but I look at America. We've got 350 million people, we'll say, in this country. And we are divided, equally divided. And there's no, to me, I cannot see negotiating with any of the communists, leftists in this country. We have nothing in common. Therefore, we can't negotiate. I cannot, if you are looking at me and saying, we've got to go socialist or full on communist, you're my enemy. Period. You know, that's just me. I don't know how we're going to rectify this, to keep the United States together. I just don't know. But that's just my two cents. But go ahead, Richard.
Well, let me mention, I took up economics in 1960. In 1960, it was still pretty well okay. I learned a lot of things in those classes, and I got so enthused with economics, I just kept paying attention to it. 1965, I got my bachelor's degree at University, Brigham Young University here in Utah. I was done. I'm not going to do any more of this stuff. Here came a program from University of Oklahoma, Norman, Oklahoma, to get a master's degree. So I did that, and I got my master's in 72. There's no program to get a PhD. There isn't one. It doesn't exist. It does now, but it never existed because they never will teach non-socialism. They never will allow you to think the competition and free enterprise is the right way. They only allow you to know socialism. I couldn't do it. I wouldn't do it, so I didn't get my doctorate. Never, never, never. Wouldn't do it. Couldn't do it. By Jove, I said to myself one day, this is back in about 2005, I know how to do this. Let me form my own school and let me get it out to everybody so they can learn too. But I said, I don't have the degree to be effective. So I kept looking and looking. Finally, in 1916, no, not 1916. I get that mixed up. I put on my thing that I was treasurer. I ran for treasurer in 1916 and everybody laughed at me. And I thought that was good because they saw my stuff. I got 128,000 votes, by the way, in the Utah election process. And it's not all counted yet.
Well, but anyway. In 1916, you said
1916. That's what I put in the thing to talk about your experiences. I ran for auditor in 2008, ran for auditor in 2012, ran for treasurer in 1916. I'm running in 2020 this year. They picked up. One lady was upset at me, and I wrote her back, said, it worked, you paid attention. Now you'll know who I am.
I love it.
Anyway, so I did. I formed my own in 2016. I wrote a dissertation, 500,000 words. Nobody's ever written a dissertation of 500,000 words before, ever. I have 450 articles that I went through detailed. That's the background I have. And Provost Institute awarded me a doctorate degree in 1916. Now, someone will say, well, you can't do that. And I will say, yes, I can. Yes, I can. Now, you can't take my school stuff and go to the University of Iowa and get credit for it. No, you can't do that. But you sure will get the information that you can't get at the University of Iowa or any other place. I'm not picking on the University of Iowa. Maybe they do have an economics program that teaches free enterprise. I doubt it. Maybe they do have an economics program that teaches MV equals PT. I doubt it. But maybe they do. But I've not found any. I ask every person I encounter that gets an economics master's, bachelor's, or doctorate, I inquire every one of them. I ask them, what does the formula MV equal PT mean? And they don't have the first idea because they've been taught Keynesian economics, which is deficit spending and socialism. And they don't have the foggiest notion what that formula is.
And I know Keynesian economics. I know where that came from, John Maynard Keynes. But I find it interesting that it rhymes with Keynes.
Yes, John Maynard Keynes. I thought he was really a sharp guy until I learned about him.
Yeah.
It took a while. You got to remember, My school for my bachelor's degree was in 1960, 61, 63. I graduated in 65. Okay, that was my era. I hadn't learned all these things yet. I hadn't learned them all. I was wet behind the ears. I went to Vietnam. While I was in Vietnam, I taught a school. I taught people. And guess what I taught? Keynesian deficit economics. I am so disappointed. I would so like to talk to those people that I had in those classes and tell them I was wrong. I would so like to. But it was there in Vietnam while I was teaching that class that I said to myself, if deficit spending is so important to have a bustling economy, how come Japan doesn't have one, does have a bustling economy, and doesn't deficit spend? How come West Germany doesn't deficit spend and they do have a bustling economy? There's an error here. And that's when I figured it out. I had to figure it out by myself, though. That's when I figured it out. Then I went back and I looked at the books by Keynes and I discovered his formula. His formula. Now I took calculus. I mean, I took mathematics, calculus. Okay. I can't understand his formula. I don't have the foggiest idea what that says. I can't even understand the symbols. Yet that's what they teach in place of MV equals PT. And the formula is supposed to indicate inflation. Well, MV equals PT does indicate inflation, and it's easy. That other thing that Keynes wrote and put in his books is not easy, not decipherable, and we can't tell what goes on. So we have to take his word for it. He was a Keynesian. He was a Fabian socialist. I can't take his word for anything. I always wanted to go to the London School of Economics. Oh, yeah, that was founded as a Fabian socialist organization to train economists properly. You see, there's nothing available. Oh, Rhodes Scholars. Oh, boy, Rhodes Scholars. Rhodes Scholars, they learn about the conspiracy, but they don't learn about the conspiracy as one. They learn about how to belong to it.
Cecil Rhodes. Yeah.
Become part of it. Rhodes Scholars are people that are going to become part of that organization, the Illuminati. And their offshoots.
Rhodes, I mean, people need to understand the background.
Cecil Rhodes is the guy. Yeah. Cecil Rhodes is the guy.
Yeah. Yep. Obviously, Bill Clinton's a Rhodes. I mean, wasn't Obama a Rhodes scholar?
Well, I don't know, but Clinton was a Rhodes scholar.
Yeah, and you've got to swear, your oath goes to.
Oh, I don't.
Elsewhere.
Now, I did not learn that. I just know that. The London School of Economics is a part of the Illuminati, and I know the Rhodes Program is a part of the Illuminati.
Right.
I know that. But I don't know if they're required to take the oaths that the Skull and Bones guys are required to take at Yale University.
There's information out there there's firsthand witness accounts that there is an allegiance that you've got to provide. But regardless, it doesn't matter.
That is the normal.
Yeah, yeah. But regardless, being a Rhodes Scholar is not a badge of honor in my view. So
no, it's not a badge of honor at all.
Yeah.
Clinton did it because Clinton was taught by Quincy. He wrote a book. Tragedy and Hope. Right. Do you remember what he's? Why can't I remember his name? Bad news. He was a student in his classes.
Carol
sponsored him to go be a Rhodes Scholar.
Carol Quigley. Yeah.
Carol Quigley. He wrote the book that Cleon Skousen reviewed in The Naked Capitalist, which, by the way, is an excellent book also. That's where I began my information. When I read Cleon Skousen's book, The Naked Capitalist, I started to follow and I watched what happened and I knew what was going on. Then because of the economic insight, when the 70s hit and all that inflation hit, I knew what was going on. I knew those things because I had learned things. So I didn't have to wonder. I knew what was happening. It wasn't until in the 2005, 6 era, 7 era, that I learned how that inflation of the 70s occurred. But I did learn that too. Folks, there's a lot out to learn if you just know what to look for. But you got to know what to look for. And you can only know what you look for if you get a basis that starts someplace. My books teach the basis of everything I had to start with. and all the details in the beginning of everything that I did, went through, and learned about. I included. I have a chart in my volumes. Doug's probably seen it. It's the M3, M2, and M1 money supply every quarter since 1932 or 33 up until 2006 when they stopped publishing M3. The reason they stopped publishing M3, they said, was because it doesn't tell us anything. Oh, yes, it does. It tells us the inflationary effect of our money. It tells us what's being done behind our backs. But the Federal Reserve doesn't want us to know that, so they don't print that any longer. But I got it right up to 2006. Then I got a document. It's in the books, by the way. These are in the books. I got some information from Ron Paul. He did an item, and he did get an audit of the Federal Reserve done in 3 years, one of 3 years. I don't remember the 3 years. Between 2006 and 2010, he had an audit done. And that audit, he discovered that the Federal Reserve had printed $16 trillion for Europe in M3 money. Gotta be trillion.
It is. Everything. Tell us why. It is.
Pardon?
It is. Yeah. Tell us why.
Okay. I took that money then and I said, now the debt was in those days when I was looking at it was about $18 trillion. So I said to myself, no, not the debt. I'm looking at the year 2006 and M3 money supply was at about $5 trillion. Okay. Now the M3 money supply in 1935 wasn't even tracked. They didn't start tracking until 1940. In that neighborhood, they began to track M3. M3 is very important. Nobody knows what it is because nobody's ever taught. M3 money supply is the money that's created by the Federal Reserve, our dollars, euro dollars, not euros, euro dollars, our money that's then circulated out of European banks. It's international money of dollars. But our money is affected by it. Our inflation is affected by it. So if they print $1 trillion, our prices go up to compensate for that $1 trillion. And the only way they can keep any control at all is to change interest rates and things like that. So that's what they do to try to hide it. But they can't hide it. It comes anyway. Anyway, so I looked at those 3 years. It was $16 trillion. I said, if they did that in 3 years, that means so many a year. I have $5 trillion where I can start. So I guessed where our money supply could be today. I think it was $60 trillion M3 money supply. Just a guess where it could be on the day I did that calculation. Now, everybody's quibbling about the national debt of $26 trillion. And that's important to quibble about it. We don't want that. But nonetheless, it's created. But in the back room, oh, one more thing. Everyone's worried about the quantitative stuff. Cue this, cue that, cue the other. Everybody's worried about the money they're printing in United States, and they should be. But the money they're not telling us about is multitudes greater. Multitudes. So I think the money supply today is around $60 trillion. Folks, that's enormous. And every dollar of that affects our inflation rate. And that's what happened in the 70s. Nixon took the gold standard. I watched it. I watched this happen, folks. I watched it happen. Nixon went to the two-tier system and the gold supply because, well, I don't want to go through all the details. There's a lot of details there. But anyway, Nixon took us off the gold standard internationally. Trump took, not Trump. He didn't do any of this. Sorry. I don't mean to malign Trump. Our buddy Roosevelt. Franklin D., yes, just one of my favorite guys. And his picture's even up on Mount Rushmore. There's one we ought to chisel off. But anyway, he took us off the United States gold standard. So we didn't deal in gold standard anymore in our dollars. He did that to us in the middle 1930s. But Nixon finished the job in 1970 and took us off the international gold standard, which now meant the Federal Reserve internationally could print anything they wanted and they went to work in the 70s, and that accounts for the inflation and the interest rates of the 1970s that got up into the 16 to 20% interest. And there would have been, had it been calculated, something like 16% inflation. Now, you should never add the money supply, the 16% of the inflation with the 16% with the 18% of the interest rate. That'd be 34%. But folks, the effect is there. And that's what happened to us in the 70s when our money went skiwampus, our house values went skiwampus, all that stuff happened. People lost. Oh my, terrible. It was because all that stuff was because of the Federal Reserve printing euro dollars. They're used internationally. And in March 2006, they came out and said, we no longer will track the M3 money supply because it's not valid. Nobody needs it. So it's not tracked. There are ways you can find it out, but it's very, very confusing. And I could do it, but I don't, because I've already got the chart made. I don't need to keep it going forever. I already have the chart, so I can see what the pattern is. Now I can estimate that we're probably around $60 trillion in M3 money. And that's not currency that you have in your pockets. That's M1 money. That's not your bank accounts. That's M1. That's not your credit cards. That's M2. M3 are the big, big loans, $100,000 or more, or maybe it's even greater than that now, and euro dollars. That's just a quick thing about M1 and M2 and M3. They're all different money. By the way, that's the kinds of stuff I teach in my classes. I help people learn in my classes.
You know, I didn't want to bring this up, but I will now. Bathroom economics, folks. I said I didn't want to bring this up because I didn't want to interrupt you, but Bathroom Economics, fantastic book as well. And you know, the combination of books really outlines everything. I mean, it outlines these are all intertwined, the books. Saving the Constitution is kind of, this is a magnum opus. This is what you really need. By the way, we have a disabled American veteran here, Richard Proctor. Today's Veterans Day. Do him a solid by Saving the Constitution. Go to provisinstitute.com, P-R-O-V like Victor I-S, institute.com. Linked off of HagmanReport.com, program description box. But go there and buy Saving the Constitution while you're there.
You don't have to stand in any lines to do that, but yeah. You have to do it at all the restaurants that aren't doing it anymore because of the lie, COVID.
Yeah, of course.
But anyway, so I want to talk about something that's in that book that people aren't thinking about, perhaps.
Okay.
It's a problem for Trump starting back a few years ago. Well, it has to be. Not very many years, though. It's a problem for Trump. It's called a border tax. Ah, tax. Bad word, tax. Border tax. What is a border tax? A border tax is a tariff. The Constitution, Article 1, Section 8, Paragraph 1, says the government raises its money through excise taxes, imposts, those kinds of things. That's tariffs. That's where the government raises its money. Tariffs. What do tariffs do? Tariffs protect our industry and our standard of living. In the back of my books, I have a chart, the standard of living of the United States. And all the other standard living, I don't remember the date, I think 14, but the 2014, what the standard of living was in every country in the world. Sierra Leone's the bottom one at 600. We are not the top anymore. We used to be the top. Now we're not the top. We're third. Why are we third? Because of free trade. Why is free trade causing us to be the third? Why are we losing our standard of living because of free trade, which is what is happening? Now, there are economists that teach free trade. I have much respect for. But if he and I were in the same room, we would disagree about free trade. And my discussion would center on the fact that free trade means that our industries compete with the industries of other countries who are under government assistance, government help, or economies that are only $1,000 a year. You see, if somebody lives in a country, let's just pick Monaco. I used that a few minutes ago. I don't know off the top of my head what Monaco's free trade, what Monaco's standard of living is. No, let's not use. Let's use Sierra Leone. I know that one. It's $600 a year. If somebody lives in Sierra Leone, they only need $600 a year to live their standard of living in their country. That's all they need. That's their spot. They don't need $32,000. They only need $600. And they get along just fine at $600. And they make things and they sell them on the world market. And that's fine. They don't make a lot. They don't sell a lot. There's not many people there. Nonetheless, it's a country. And it has a standard of living of $600 a year in 2014, thereabouts. It's in the book. You can look at it. Now, free trade. What does free trade do? Well, let's assume we have a basket industry here in the United States. We make the best quality baskets ever. And we sell them for about, $20 each. You know, people like them. They buy them. They want to have these baskets. They're nice baskets. And we have a company in Sierra Leone that makes baskets. And their wage rate would be about 20 cents, maybe less an hour, maybe even less than that. I've got it written down so you can read it and find out what it is. See, I can't remember all the details of 500,000 words, but I can remember the concepts. You get the books, you'll get the details. Okay, anyway, so here we go. That company makes them for a buck and a half. Transportation is almost nothing. I mean, you can ship a boatload of stuff for not very much money, a buck each, probably. So now they've traveled all the way from Sierra Leone in the hold of a ship to the United States. There are no tariffs, free trade. In comes the baskets, and they're going to sell them for, $3 a basket at Walmart. My company, or this other company, that's making quality baskets, can't possibly compete with Sierra Leone. And free trade destroys his business and all of his employees. If he wants to stay in business, he moves his company to Sierra Leone and makes baskets for 20 cents an hour and sends them to the United States, no tariff, so now he can keep his business going. But not the employees. They're here. They don't have a job anymore. That's what free trade does. That's just a simple example of free trade. But now we have a lot of do-gooders that are saying, you're moving your company to Sierra Leone and you're only paying 20 cents to make more profit for yourself. What a money grabber. This terrible, carry on and on and on. You should pay them a living wage. Folks, 20 cents an hour in Sierra Leone is a living wage. But it isn't a living wage here. So let's assume that we pander to these morons. And we go to Sierra Leone and pay our guys there $20 an hour or whatever we pay here for making baskets. You destroy the economy. We would have destroyed the entire economy of Sierra Leone, that company by itself. Why? Because nobody will work for anything else but that company, and poverty will begin to rise, and the economy, people are getting the wages, will inflate the money beyond what anybody else is making. We would destroy the country. Well, they don't care about that. They just care about yelling at a company that's going there to take advantage of our lack of protecting our own country companies. Tariffs protect your standard of living. The law of comparative advantage is another item I teach very clearly. That tells everybody's going to do the best that's for them. So if I have a secretary that's making $10 an hour, and a young lady down the street comes in and says, I'll do all the work and I can do it all for one. I hire the lady down the street. Well, the lady down the street actually lives in Uganda. She does all my secretarial work from Uganda. Works fine. I don't mind. I pay her $1 an hour instead of 20. That's what we're doing to our country because of free trade and the various aspects of it.
You're exactly right. And folks, get all of Dr. Proctor's books. Provis, P-R-O, that's P like Paul, R, Roger, O, Oscar, V, Victor, P-R-O-V-I-S, Institute.com. And again, he's a veteran. Today's Veterans Day, by the books, plural. And by the way, you were talking about the tariffs and such. President Trump had done much to right the wrong of that ship. So we're out of time, brother. We're out of time.
I know.
All right.
I know. It's done. Take care.
Have a good night.